If you have not yet met Logan and Allison, this is Logan and Allison McCann. So let's just take a few minutes. If you've not made introductions, everybody real quick, tell them your name so they can meet you. On the count of three, one, two, three, tell them your name. Man, you guys, why y'all being so sensitive toward them? Tell them your name. All together, one, two, three, tell them your name. Did you get all that?
Yes.
Yeah, Logan. See, that look that he just gave me made it all worth it. So thank you very much. Okay. If you could stand, they're going to read the word of God for us this morning. We're looking at John chapter 17. And so Logan and Allison are going to be reading and proclaiming the living word of God. Thank you, guys.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, and they have that they also may be sanctified in truth.
I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love in which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Thank you, guys. Amazing job. You may be seated. Just wanted to show you something. You may want to come by and look at this. Chris, you may want to give him that. Jonathan's here. Sorry, little housekeeping issue. You see my wife and I, our resurrection garden here. We had a couple of teenagers drop this off at the house and blessed us. You may want to check this out after service because it's got the crosses, the tomb, and the stone that was rolled away, and it's some pretty cool stuff. So you may want to check that out. For some of you, that'd be a good little craft for this week. As we're reading and we've been talking about, we're looking about walking in the way with Christ And we're looking toward next Sunday and the resurrection, Easter. So as we've been going through John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, obviously we can't break these chapters apart verse by verse. We don't have the time. But I want to highlight a simple detail that John records about Yeshua talking to our Father in heaven. I want you to think about these words. What does John record right at the beginning of John chapter 17? When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Open eyes and lifted head," as it appears that he was standing around with his followers. Now, we've been talking about this whole idea of being in the way. And we've been talking about how that the early church and what they were doing with Jesus. And if you think about what we've been talking about them just living life together, that it's more of a lifestyle. It's less about intellectual information, and it's more about applied information that works in our lives. So I want you to just think about this. John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. If you look at the beginning of chapter 18, it says that what they're doing is they're transitioning from this upper room. They met for the Passover. It turned into the Lord's table. And now they have just been hanging out and walking and spending time together. The disciples don't know that they're on their way to Gethsemane, or they may because they regularly did that, but they're just walking through the town. So they're either close to the wall or they're on the outside of the wall, because it says that they're just going to cross the Brook Kidron and they're going to wind up in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think it's important for you to remember this, because they're just kind of walking and they're just kind of hanging out together. And then all of a sudden, Jesus in the middle of this begins to pour his heart out. Now, standard belief is that prayer is a process of hands folded, head bowed, eyes closed. That's not a bad thing. We're not in any shape, form, or fashion against that. But if your model of prayer is hands clasped, head down, eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to kind of expand your horizons this morning and consider something greater and bigger and more amazing, that as you partner that with that private time, what will that look like for you? Now, it's super important, and I want us to remember that one of the important requests from these men that are in Jesus' apprenticeship program is that they said, "Hey, we need some help with this one thing." Now, they had questions about all kinds of stuff. They talked about all kinds of stuff. But we're going to look in Luke chapter 11 in just a second. And I just want to remind you that one of the things that they saw Jesus do, they saw him, thousands of people gathered around, all kinds of things taking place, healings, people thronging to be near Jesus, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And they watched that in the middle of that, Jesus would be like, "I'm done. I'm going to go spend time with Dad. I need to hear from him. I need some time with him. Hey, you guys go over here and do this. I'll meet you over there." They watched it over and over again. And so they said to him, "Hey, Lord, can you teach us to pray? Help us understand this concept." You think about, they had learned Torah. They could quote Torah. They knew the Old Testament teachings. They would recite that. And there was all that going on. But the thing that they needed some extra, "Help us understand this. We're seeing what you're doing, but help us understand prayer." So Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13 in the New American Standard Bible, 95 edition. I want you to listen to the words as I read them. "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, he's trying to help them understand what he just passed on. Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from the inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, and I want to insert this word because this fits in the Greek, the shamelessness. Just let the gravity of those words, persistence or the shamelessness of asking, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask. A proper interpretation in the Greek is keep asking. And it will be given to you. Seek or keep seeking and you will find. Knock, keep knocking, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Now suppose one of you fathers, this is, if you're a normal father, this is, you'll understand this. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish, or other versions say a loaf. You will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Is a decent dad going to give a child who asks for something to eat, hand him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father or your Father from heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I want to ask you this morning. There's so much in John chapter 17, and I will just be honest with you. I'm just going to give you a glimpse into my life and my heart. John chapter 17 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it has been for a long time. Because John chapter 17, as I came across it and the Spirit of God began to reveal it to me, what I began to see as I pored over John chapter 17 is I saw the heart of our Savior revealed. And it means so much. There's so much in here. So I'm going to ask you this week to please continue on. We've been asking you to read John chapter 14 all week, John chapter 15 all week, John chapter 16. I'm asking you to read John chapter 17 on your own each and every day leading up to next weekend. Because we are gathering next weekend to just praise his holy name and sing praises about the resurrection of our Savior, our Lord. Pinnacle. Amazing celebration. But John chapter 17, oh, it would do so much to just purify our hearts. But this is what I want to ask you this morning. I want you to look at John chapter 17 as a dialogue or a conversation with Father God in front of all these disciples or practitioners as they're walking along or standing together in a group. They're not on their knees. They're not off. They're not in the Garden of Gethsemane. More than likely, they're in a very public place. Maybe they're still on a street. If they're outside the gate, it's still a very public place. We've been talking about walking with Jesus in the way. A lifestyle or a way of life, not just a list of intellectual talking points that can be separate from our attitude and action. Now, please hear me when I say this. Some of you are recovering religionists like I am. So when I say religionists, I'm talking about human religion that puts all these expectations and these performance standards on us. And so here's the thing. When you're in this vein, it's real easy to take all this intellectual information, and please hear me when I say this. And we've all seen this, and maybe you're like me, you participate in this, that you can have all this intellectual information about the Bible, and it has no transference to your attitude or your actions. They can stink, they can be self-centered, but you can have all this Bible knowledge because there's no connectivity. And what Jesus was trying to model is, yes, you can take all this information about Torah, but when we're walking in the way, you become a practitioner. In other words, this information somehow becomes part of who you really are. It's not just like check, check, check. Oh, I've got all this theology. I've got all this Torah figured out. No, it's not about that. It's about walking in the way practically like an apprenticeship program. That's why we've been using that term, like an apprenticeship program. Learning to follow in the way of Jesus. Because, and think about this, when we come together, this big funnel, but why are we here? We are learning to make Jesus our way. We're learning to make Jesus our truth, and we're learning to make Jesus our life. Can't you see how that equates to lifestyle? It should affect our attitude and our actions. And if you've got some kind of religion where you can have a stinky, there's words going through my mind right now that I will not use. Bad attitude, selfish actions toward other people, and there's no level of conviction, there's no level of urging, there's no level to change. I'm going to ask you to really look at what you say you believe. Because Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit that we're pressing into, I'm just telling you right now, I can't get away with that. Because we're learning to walk in the way. Now, I just want to take note. And please hear me when I say this. There is a time to talk to God together. And then there's a time to pour your heart out to God alone. Think about this. Jesus is opening his heart up in this group setting as they're walking toward Gethsemane. But what is he about to do in Gethsemane? He is about to pour out his heart alone in painful grief and agony. Now, he's asked some guys to come away. He's going to ask some guys to come away, but they're going to be over. He's going to be by himself, and you get this impression that he's on his face pouring his heart out to God. So there's a time for us to pray together. And then there's a time for us to pray alone. Jesus modeled that for them. Jesus showed them, and he taught them. He said, hey, you need to get alone by yourself in your closet where nobody else is around, and you need to pour your heart out. And then there's other times. So I'm going to say that we have, in this group this morning and the other service, we have people at all different levels in your dialogue and your communication with God. And regardless of what level you're at, I'm going to encourage you to do with Psalm 62, verse 8 in the NLT. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. You know how you learn that God is your refuge? Not intellectually. You learn it experientially when you learn to pour your heart out to him. Now, I want to just note something, and please hear my heart when I say this. Some of you, something has happened, and you've set a guard up over yourself. And I just want to say this. If you're here this morning and you are not on speaking terms with God, then I want to ask you from my heart to make a decision to change your status this morning. And I believe that there's somebody in here this morning that you walked in here and you don't feel like you're on speaking terms with God. Maybe you're angry, frustrated, upset. I don't know what's going on inside of you. But this is what I want to encourage you to do. Simply what Jesus did. Look up, open your mouth, And usually what happens is when you look up and you open your mouth, your heart follows behind your words. Or listen to the words of Johnny Cash. Dead serious. Some of you are like, works for me. Johnny Cash said, "My way of communicating with God as a boy, and often even now, was through the lyrics of a song." So I don't have the problem that some people do who say, "I don't know how to pray." I use the songs to communicate with God. To me, songs were the telephone to heaven, and I tied up the line quite a bit. Now, if you don't know the story of Johnny Cash and how he was gloriously transformed and came back to the God of his roots in Jesus Christ, you need to read and understand, but Johnny's in heaven today, and he understands the gravity of what he said on this side of heaven. But think about that. Some of you, you're very musically wired, and I just want to say this as an encouragement. It is important that the music that we listen to can be an expression of our heart and our movement toward God, and not allow the music that we listen to inhibit intimacy with our God. It makes a difference. Billy Graham said, "Prayer is spiritual communication between man and God. It's a two-way relationship in which man should not only talk to God, but also listen to him. Prayer to God is like a child's conversation with his father. It is natural for a child to ask his father for things he needs." Just a natural process. Isn't it amazing that Billy Graham is just reinforcing the illustration that our Lord used when he was walking and he was trying to teach people about the heavenly kingdom? Now, I want to do something that I haven't done before, but we've been encouraging you guys. If you are not aware of Spirit Speak AI, Logan and Allison were up here. That's been a passion of them as a couple and something Logan has been working hard of. It's simply an app that's designed to be a tool for you to use in your study and in your pursuit of Christ. So what I did a couple weeks ago is I loaded in the Spirit AI, because I have it on my phone, and I said, I just asked for highlights of John chapter 17. So what I'm about to share with you are some beautiful highlights that came up on the screen, because it just so reinforces. I want to give you an overview, then wrap things up. John chapter 17 captures Jesus' high priestly prayer before his crucifixion, focusing on his relationship with the Father, his relationship with his disciples, and believers yet to come. Jesus in John chapter 17 is praying for us. Those of us today that are here that believe, or maybe some of you, you're going to believe today for the very first time, he's praying for us. You say, "Tim, can you explain that?" Nope. Blows my mind, but I accept it. Key themes include unity, glorifying God, protection, sanctification, and love. Jesus prays for his disciples, asking the Father to keep them united and protected from the evil one, emphasizing that they are not in this world, but sent into it. He also intercedes for future believers, desiring that they may be one as he and the Father are one, so that the world may know and believe in him. Please understand, it's not us just coming together on doctrinal things and theology. Because so often in our human experience, it's that same pursuit of intellectual understanding that divides us. What the Spirit came to accomplish was the heart of Jesus. And Jesus said that we would be one, that we would be united, that there'd be something, there's some kind of transference spiritually so that I'm actually loving and hanging out and I'm one with people that have a different personality, people that have different hobbies, people that have different things. But in the body of Christ, we can be one. And it says it is through that united oneness that the message is proclaimed that Jesus is alive, and he's alive in us, that he's working in us. That's what we long for here. Jesus expresses his desire for us, future believers. Jesus expresses his desire for believers to be sanctified in truth, connected to him, experiencing his glory, love, and unity. He emphasizes a bond between believers and the triune God, desiring that they may share in the same glory he has with the Father before the world began. Think about, we talked about last week, this God family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they had this glorious connectivity and oneness before all of this was birthed. And we get to taste of that. Overall, John chapter 17 showcases Jesus' deep love, care, and concern for his followers, past, present, and future. Today, oh, we so want you to feel the love of God. Highlighting the importance of unity, protection, sanctification, and glorifying God in all things. I have one thing for you today. I have one big picture thing for you today. My big picture takeaway of John chapter 17 is for you to consider the purity of our Savior. When you look at it and examine the words of Jesus' dialogue with the Father in John chapter 17, I'm just blown away by the purity of our Savior. There was nothing in here, nothing recorded that's twisted and selfish and perverted or perverse or evil. Everything that he's expressing in his desire has a sense of holy pureness about it. Amen. Some of you adults need to wake up and follow the children. Can I get another hallelujah? There we go. I love that. Shoo, keep that coming. I've been reading and studying John chapter 17 for years now. Our Lord was and is pure. Pure presence in a human skin, human body, wrapped in flesh. Is there anything in John chapter 17 that deserves a beating and a murdering? He was killed because of his purity, because he was so pure. The people that didn't want to look at their own junk wanted to remove him from the scene because it caused them to evaluate their hearts, their souls, their minds. I'll give you a glimpse into my soul. You know, one of the reasons why I struggle with speaking? Every single Sunday, because I know how impure I am. And I'm trying to lift up this pure, beautiful, holy Savior. I'm just a human vessel. I'm as janked up as you are. I'm trying to walk in the way. And the thing about walking in the way is the more that I walk in the way, the more that I lean into him, Guess what gets revealed to me? My impurity. It's part of the relationship. I look in the mirror. Stinking enemy keeps staring at me every morning. But that's the beauty of his love. As he says, Tim, it's not about you and your junk. I'll take care of that. You just draw close to me. You get close to me. And I'm going to sift you. And I'm going to clean you up in the junk. I'm going to filter out the junk. As you learn to love, let me take care of all that stuff. Look at John chapter 17. I pray that you look at it this week and you see the pureness of his love for us. He sees us for who he sees in our potential because of his love for us. And we have to learn to see the pureness of his love, to listen to the pureness of his truth. Look at John chapter 17 and hear the pureness of his desire. Can I explain to you that he can think and see us in the future form as he's praying out loud in front of these disciples that he's walking with? No, but I accept it and I believe it. His desire for us is so pure. And I still wrestle with that. I'm learning. It's not so much that I don't trust him. I don't trust myself. But I see myself. And yet, during those darkest times, he says, Tim, I love you just the way you are. I knew more about your sin when I saved you than you did. Huh? Oh, yeah, man. I know you way better. And I love you anyway. I can't explain that. I just have to accept it. So what we're trying to do is understand this dialogue, this opportunity, this privilege that we have to actually have a conversation with Father, our heavenly dad, because of what Jesus has done, that we're going to really focus in on next Sunday. Because think about it this way. You want to know why Christianity is set apart because of Jesus? There's been no human being to walk the face of the planet to have that pure spirit, that pure heart, that pure God flow inside of him to take victory over death and the grave. But our Savior did. Jesus did. Yeshua proclaimed that he was the Son of the living God. So I'm going to ask you on your own to study John 17 this week. And ask the Spirit, just like what Jesus said about this example, ask the Spirit to fill you and to guide you and reveal to you the pureness of our Savior. And what does this chapter and Jesus' expression mean to you personally? That's what we're asking. And this morning, in just a few minutes, we're going to sing a couple of songs, but we're trying to make it easy for you. You don't have to come up here. Just act like you're going to the bathroom and fake it and go over there and say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I need somebody to pray over me. Last service, we had somebody that just stood there weeping and said, I'm tired of the hurt. I'm tired of the pain. And we had people just gather around and pray over him for freedom, for encouragement. I don't know what it is. We're just trying to learn to be more open and say, God, you do what you want to do in our midst. And we want you to partner with us in that, if that's God's plan for you. But I believe that there maybe is somebody here this morning that maybe today is the day for you to believe for the first time and just proclaim, I believe that Jesus came and lived and died to forgive me. I believe. Please forgive me, I believe. And then just be wide open to his love and what he wants to do for you. And here's the thing. We all have this in common. We struggle with unbelief. And we need to learn to share our hearts with God and talk to him. Say, Tim, I don't know what to say. Well, practice. Pastor Chris read the scriptures of prayer last service. Just open your mouth and watch your heart follow suit. So, Father, you do in us today what you want to do for your glory. Let's stand and let's sing together.